Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
Yes, you might find yourself in all those places. And you ask yourself, how did I get here?
Do you remember when that was literally one of the only videos on MTV back in 1981? I used to obsess when that song came on. I knew, like, when he was swimming on the green screen. Oh, that was awesome.
Talking heads. Yes. Oh, the good old days. What was the second video on MTV?
Pat Benatar, something.
It was?
Shadows of the Night. So, it was something Pat Benatar.
Who? Sam, since you're the in-house researcher during the show, can you look up the first five video? I know Video Killed the Radio Star was number one.
Was it the Buggles?
Is that who it was?
Yeah, the Buggles.
Buggles. Was Pat Benatar the second video on MTV ever?
You Better Run.
You Better Run!
I was right.
What was number three?
Hold on, it's still loading, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. I think Bruce Springsteen had one in the top five, maybe?
Number three was by a man named Rod Stewart.
Yes, Rod Stewart.
Can you guess the song?
1981, was it Hot Legs?
She Won't Dance With Me.
Okay.
Oh, I would have never gotten that.
You Better okay, You who, Bet by The Who.
You Better You
okay,
Bet,
okay, yeah. Tell me the artist, but not the name of the song of the fifth, yeah, of the fifth one. Yeah.
Number five was by PhD.
PhD?
Yep.
What?
Who the hell was PhD?
Clearly a one-hit wonder.
Never even heard of him.
Little Susie's On the Up.
Oh, Tesla made a remake of that years after that. Little Susie on the Up.
That was the fifth MTV video ever.
Wow.
I was obsessed with Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eyes. Obsessed. I still am, actually.
Who basically sounds like a female Rod Stewart.
Or
dare I say, a woman who smokes too many cigarettes.
Okay, fair enough.
Let me know when I get it wrong. The COVID vaccine has been approved by the FDA for children between the ages of 12 and 15 this afternoon. Not expected, but I'm sure for many people this is great news. Those of you with kids between the ages of 12 and 15. But I think I was watching the news over the weekend. I can't remember the exact statistic, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood of only 27%, I think it was, of parents say they plan to definitely get their kids vaccinated. Definitely.
Are you both fully vaccinated? I don't think we've had this conversation.
I am vaccinated.
Samuel?
I am not.
He has made choices, and I respect them.
I'm a lazy 24-year-old. Those are my choices. Yeah.
Is that really, you and I have never had this conversation. Is that really the reason why you haven't gotten it?
Yeah, I'm just a really busy person and don't, yeah.
It's not some sort of idea. And it's, and I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and ridicule you or try to convert you or anything like that. I don't care.
I'm a bit of a skeptic under the emergency use category, okay. Personally.
Okay.
Because at this point, even the FDA is kind of saying, we think so, at least to me. That's what the emergency use means to me. But, yeah, once it's fully approved, you better believe I'll be right there.
What about you, Mr.
Sam?
Mackey?
Oh, yeah. Fully vaccinated. Yeah. You got to keep them vaccinated.
The only side effects I had a mild headache and I grew a third
Same.
Nipple. But other than that, nothing.
What is wrong with you? Hey, complete sidebar, Sam. This has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that you posted a picture of yourself over the weekend on your Facebook page where you, I guess, were at confirmation? I don't know, something you literally...
Yes, that was confirmation.
How old were you, young man?
I was like, 14, 15, I think, something like that. Confirmation of my Catholic-ness.
You looked 10 and ridiculously goofy, and I just wanted to say you've grown into a fine young man. But
well,
back then, what happened?
I looked 12 until I was like 20, then I stopped looking 12.
Why are you making fun of the way he looked? I've seen pictures of... No. You just back your horse up. I've seen pictures of you when you were young, you little goofball nerd from the 80s with your collar pinned up, you wearing turquoise shirts and pink jackets.
Come on. I had really, really good Flock of Seagulls hair.
Yes, you did.
Really good.
But you of all people poking fun at my man, Sam.
Sam and I have a love-hate relationship. He hates me and I love it. That's how we do.
And I love to hate him, so.
So there we go.
By the way, we were...
Anyway, back to whatever we were talking about.
Well, we were talking about a little bit about music, like the first five videos on MTV, but nothing. This is from page 6 of the New York Post. Kurt Cobain's death smelled like a conspiracy to some fans who desperately wanted the FBI to open a murder probe into his untimely demise. According to newly released FBI files on the late rocker... here's the quote. What is this from? This is from one person who wrote to the FBI in 2007. I only wish to receive justice for and others who love this man as much as I did. This man was Kurt Cobain, belonging to a band called Nirvana. Yeah, we know who he is, kid. And it was originally thought and still accepted as the truth that he committed suicide. There has since been evidence found that he was killed and did not commit suicide as originally thought. The letter was among 10 pages released without fanfare or notice by the FBI to The Vault, an online archive. Cobain committed suicide in April of 1994. The fan urged the FBI to take the case, claiming the idea that Cobain had been murdered, quote, bothers me the most because his killer is still out there.
Okay. Somebody's really obsessed with Kurt Cobain.
You think? Man. Okay. Did you guys hear the controversy about the Kentucky Derby winner?
Oh, steroids.
Medina Spirit has failed a drug test, and its Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, has been
banned.
Indefinitely suspended from Churchill Downs in Louisville. In a news conference yesterday morning, Baffert said the horse tested positive for 21 picograms. I don't even know what that is.
It's a very, 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 very small amount.
Of something called beta-methasone, 11 picograms above the legal limit. Shortly afterward, they announced a suspension. But did you know, here's something you may not have known. If you bet on Medina Spirit to win the Kentucky Derby and you cashed in over the weekend, you do not have to give that money back. Yes, that is true. You get to keep the winnings even if they give the Kentucky Derby to the number two horse. You get to keep the winnings.
I mean, that would be a real problem if they had to go back and figure out how much everybody owed.
Yeah.
Well,
and if you won, chances are the money that you won is already spent. Come on now.
Or it was spent on the drinks that you drank that day.
Right.
And then, well, not only would you have to get all the money back, then you'd have to reconfigure Okay, well, who came in and bet on the second place horse?
Right.
Where are they? Now, I've never gambled. Yes, I did hear that Tawny Catan died. Yes, age 59, by the way. Tawny Catan died over the weekend. Star of many, many Whitesnake videos.
And Bachelor Party.
That's right.
With Tom Hanks.
That's correct. 1984.
Anyway, you've never gambled.
I've never gambled. So when you go, sorry.
Squirrel.
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 When you go to place a bet on something like a horse, I'm assuming they don't get your address and your phone number and.
No, you have a ticket, don't you? Or some sort of like, here's my betting. I don't know.
Sam, have you ever bet on a horse?
I've never bet on horses.
No, I've never been to a horse track to bet on a horse. No.
Okay. So I don't know how it works, but meh. All right.
You've never gambled, like, ever,
I've never gambled in my life. No.
Do you play the lottery?
No.
I don't even know who you are anymore. I mean, I knew that you didn't gamble, but I thought that was just like, okay, fair enough.
And
well, he turns the mic on every day. That's gambling enough.
Yeah,
right?
That is a risk. No, I've never, in fact, I'm such a weirdo about it that when my kids have wanted, when they were younger and not of legal age to do the lottery, I would have them do a chore, pay them like a dollar or two, whatever it is to get a ticket, then they would give me the money back and I'd go buy them a ticket.
Hmm.
That's how much, and I don't know why. I don't know why. And I'm not morally opposed. I don't think it should be outlawed. I could not care less if you gamble. If you gamble, great, good for you. It's just not for me. I've only been on the floor of one casino and it was to go from my room to where the band was playing.
Hmm. Dana probably gambles enough for me, you, and Sam Stevie.
Oh, yeah. She's a borderline 1-800-BETS-OFF candidate. And I said borderline if you're listening.
All right. 576-7798. Michael Mackey in for Dana. Ka-ching, ring. Right. Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
All right. We're looking pretty good on the highways right now. Whoops, sorry. Let me turn that back up there for you, Sam. We're looking pretty good on the highways right now with no problems. Back to, you're going to find southbound I-35 is kind of back to normal heading into downtown. They cleared that accident on the Paseo exit ramp, and that had just kind of backed up onto the bridge, but improvement now. Also going to find southbound I-35 still looking good out to Johnson County. No delays there. Westbound 152 Highway Green Hills Road have report of a road obstruction, but don't see any slowing getting around that. Sponsored by AAA. If you're looking to save more on auto insurance, it's easy. Get your free quote at AAA.com/insurance and you could save an average of $537. Visit AAA.com/insurance. Major Miles, KMBZ traffic.
You should have been gone, knowing how I made you feel. And I should have been gone after all your words of steel. I must have been a dreamer. And I must have been someone else.
All right, welcome back. Story here.
Was that as good for you as it was for me?
I'm sure, Michael. I'm sure it was. Cinnamon gum. It's one of my favorites. Story here from Channel 5. In a year full of protests, harsh criticism of police, and even calls for the chief of police to step down, many officers in Kansas City are saying enough is enough. Kansas City police officers are resigning and retiring in record numbers. And the president of the police union says the community needs to know and understand there will be consequences. Says Brad Lemon, president of the FOP. It's just too much. I mean, it has just got to the point where it's just too much. So far this year, 46 officers already, we are in May, by the way, 46 officers have either retired or resigned. Some are turning to private security or construction, and Brad Lemon expects the trend to continue. Says Brad Lemon with the FOP, we're going to lose about 100 to 110 officers this year, which is a huge increase over any other year that we have ever had. If that happens, that would be a 10% drop in Kansas City's police force. It would leave the force near the number of officers the city had in 1980. Be careful what you wish for. You may just get it.
What a thankless job, mm-hmm. especially in this time.
I'd be curious to hear from those of you in law enforcement and those of you, quite frankly, who are not in law enforcement, those who see this as trouble coming, or maybe even those of you who think this is a good thing. This is a good sign.
Or even those of you who suddenly are like, you know, this would be with all those openings, this would be a great time to live my lifelong dream to be in law enforcement.
576-7798. From the text line, I knew it. Good. Let them go. Pay wages that attract competent people. Okay. This is one of those, what's the word I'm looking for? Consequences of the times, I guess. I'm lacking the words for it here at the moment. But it is easy to criticize the police. As Michael said, it's a thankless job. Unless you get you're in the grocery store or something with your uniform on, you get the occasional, hey, thanks a lot for what you do. Hey, thank you. I really appreciate what you do. That's about as much thanks as you get when you're a cop. And I'm not sitting here to tell you that 100% of cops are good. They're not. But I think the overwhelming majority of people who join the police force do it for the right reason. And just like you and me, they just want to get through the day. The difference between their day and our day is they always run the risk of being shot at work. Now, you could also make that's what they signed up for, Scott. Yep, that's true. They did sign up for that.
But now they're also under an intense, insane amount of scrutiny. Like, they're being watched on the most finite levels, which adds another layer of stress, I'm sure, to their already demanding jobs.
576-7798, if you guys want to weigh in. Steven Olathe, what's up? Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, you know, I was just telling the police owner that if you had told me back during the Rodney King's rioting that we were going to be going through this another 30 years later, then I'd have said that you were crazy. You know, these police officers that are leaving the force, they just don't want to change. They don't want to be re-educated on how to police the community in a fashion that is going to be just and unbiased. I say good riddance. Absolutely good riddance. We need to bring in police officers and training these police officers to be able to take care of these situations verbally and physically in a form that's going to be just to our community. I'm not saying that our community is just to our police officers, not in the long run. I'm saying that, you know, people are horrendous to the police officers, to the police force. But, you know, they don't need to be horrendous to the community.
But Stephen, let me ask you this, though. You said, you know, the people who are retiring or more probably the people who are resigning don't want to change. They don't want to be re-educated, dare I say that word. Is it possible? But you also said that people are horrible to the police. Is it possible that a number of these people who are quitting, let's call it what it is, they're quitting, are quitting because they're just sick of it. They're sick of going to work every day, being told that they're a piece of crap, basically being adult babysitters. They're just tired of it.
Hey, I say that in any job, if you do not like your job, then move on. Absolutely. Okay. Your mental health is more important than any job that you're taking. There's no reason that you should put your mental health in jeopardy. But when we have police officers down in Georgia who are chasing down an 80-year-old woman and she doesn't feel comfortable in pulling over because she's heard stories of these people who have sirens and lights on their cars, and they will rob you right on the side of the freeway, and she finally stops, and the police officer berates her and yanks her out of the car. That's uncalled for. That's just uncalled for.
I'm not familiar with the story that you're talking about, but I will look it up. And Stephen, I do appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Thanks, Stephen.
Michael Mackey Esquire with MichaelMackey.com in Kansas City Magazine is joining us, filling in today for Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. The news is next here on KMBZ. Then more of your calls. Happy Mother's Day to everyone who celebrated yesterday. Hope it was wonderful. We're reporting on this story. Well, we're not. We're responding to the story first reported by Channel 5. The headline is record numbers of officers leaving the Kansas City Police Department. And according to their estimates, the police department could lose roughly 10% of its force this year. If so, that would drop the number of people on the force to the lowest number since 1980. By the way, what is happening in Kansas City reflects a nationwide trend. Portland, Seattle, Vegas, Minneapolis, New York, all reporting record resignations and retirements. Some departments say it is almost 20% of their police department.
Portland is hemorrhaging police officers.
I'm sure. To make matters worse, as the number of officers declines, there is record violence. Kansas City had more murders last year than any year since records were kept. Let me read that again. Kansas City had more murders last year than any year since records were kept, on pace to at least match that this year.
Okay, and last year was a pandemic year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Just because law-abiding citizens were staying inside, obviously it didn't mean that non-law-abiding citizens were staying inside. Let's go to Stacy in Kansas City. Stacy, good afternoon.
Hi,
welcome.
Hi, Stacy.
Good afternoon.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I'm retired from the Kansas City Police Department since December of 2020. I had 37 years and 11 months total. I started in 1983 before we even had 911. As a dispatcher, then went in the academy in 1985. And like I said, retired in December of 2020. And my last 7 years that I was there, I was a reserve officer. I retired and I stayed on as reserve. And I worked in our mounted patrol unit with the horses. And just want to say that, you know, the amount of kids that the mounted patrol unit reached was, you know, record numbering, and it takes getting a hold of the kids and making them realize the value of themselves and the value of their community to respect officers, and you know, it teaches everybody what's going on. And we would have over 500 people at an open house at our mounted patrol barn, and there's no place that would ever have that many people at an open house, and that shows you how valued all walks of life loved the horses. And, you know, many guys would say you'd take an officer and drive down the car in a police car. Nobody'd ever come out and say hi or how's your day. But you take that same officer and you ride down a street with a horse, and everybody's coming out from the house. Everybody.
But Stacey, to the topic at hand, though, the mass retirement / resignation, did you are newly retired from the police department. Is morale low? What is the reason, if you were hearing any, what were the reasons for these officers saying, you know, I'm capable of retiring now, I'm going to, or I quit, I'm done?
I think it's very low. In fact, you think that you're always getting blamed for everything, from the crime and everything else. That's why I'm saying that when you change that, you know, perception of the public with certain units like DARE and POWL and the mounted patrol, and you start at the kids, you know, where the kids, you know, learn, then you're able to change that perception. Then the officers don't feel like they're blamed for everything because the crime is so high. And also, it's also the internal stress, not only just on the streets, but it's the internal stress of basically being Monday night quarterback 15 times about what you did. And so it's internal stress in addition to having to turn around and watch everybody on the streets that's filming you. I worked on the plaza for over 10 years after the mayor got, pushed in the bushes when shots rang out. We started working on the plaza. We'd be down there till 3 a.m. trying to get parents to even show up to get their kids because their kids are so young, 12 years old, walking around with nobody. And then we'd get blamed when we tried to call the parents down there and they would get a ticket for curfew and they were mad at us. But they weren't taking care of their kids. So there's a whole, a whole lot of aspects that go into why officers feel so much pressure. And, why stay on when, nobody likes the police anymore. You might as well say that you're an internal affairs a tax person, a tax person versus being a police officer. There's just nobody cares about that job anymore.
Well, you bring up an interesting point that, and I think you're painting with a really broad brush, but that's okay. And I understand your perspective for doing so, that nobody likes the police. Well, technically not true. But everybody likes the police when they need to call 911.
Correct. And the other aspect is that no one takes accountability for their actions. When you come there to a domestic violence call or whatever, you're there and you have to uphold the law. It's not because you're wanting to, hurt somebody or make somebody's day bad. It's that's you have to do your job. And people don't look at it that way. They look at it, as they're just, doing something to make my life miserable. Nobody wants to take accountability for their actions anymore. And that's a big thing, especially being a parent, wanting to watch their kids while kids go out and, terrorize the city. And then nobody wants to pay for what the damage they did to cause. We had many times they were causing damage on the plaza, and that's why the plaza got such a bad rap, and that was long coming till they got rid of the movie theaters.
Hey, Stacey, let me just do this because we got a full board and want to get everybody else in. Yes, but sir. If you didn't hear it enough when you retired after 37 years, thank you for what you did. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Be well, okay? Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye. As well. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, be well. From the text line, I'm not going to give the phone number out. I don't want to get this person in trouble. Or the last four, we don't give your phone numbers out, but your last four. 20 years in police work, cops are quitting because they're tired of automatically being assumed that we're all racists. Almost all who chastise us could not do what we do or handle what we see. The rhetoric, quite frankly, is getting old.
The rhetoric, quite frankly, is getting old.
I'll tell you this, I couldn't do it. I could not do that work.
And why would you? Simply dealing with the seedy underbelly of society?
Let's go to Kevin in Lee's Summit. Kevin, hello.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up? Hey, here's the deal, Scott. One of the things I disagree with you, and there's several points that you made earlier that you made that I disagree with you on.
Okay.
But the one that you picked out was the one. What I'm going to pick on you on is when you said the cops want to go home at the end of the night just like everybody else. If that was the case, Scott, and I'm doing the air quotes thing, that, and I'm not stereotyping all police by any means, but for the police that we have seen in public who said this happened or that happened for the simple fact that they feared that subject, which happened to be of a minority race, and the outcome ended up bad, you initially stopped them for something that you would not have stopped Scott for. You would not have stopped Dana for, or Karen, or Sharon, or Tom, or Dan. You see what I'm saying? So why would you turn around and initiate something that you are already supposed to be that in the back of your mind that you are afraid of? I already know who the bully is. If I know who the bully is, Scott, I'm not going to go pick on the bully. If that's what I'm going to use as my excuse.
Well, Kevin, I want to be clear. And for those who don't know, Kevin's a longtime member of the family here. He's co-hosted on the show many times. Kevin happens to be black. And I'm not going to remotely put myself in your shoes, and I'm not going to try to equate any experience that I've had in life with yours. Okay? You're going, okay. You will win. And okay. I will lose. But this idea that people like me, because I'm white, or Dana, because she's white, or Michael, because he's white, that we just get to drive around without fear of ever being pulled over, I just want to correct you on that. That is not accurate. I mean, and again, you've probably been pulled over for more ridiculous things than I have, but I have been pulled over coming out of a parking lot because I didn't have my seatbelt on.
Okay. And one last thing, Scott, on this whole thing, when everybody keeps talking about how the police are leaving the department, why won't somebody say, what's the percentage? What's the percentage of minorities versus the white police officers? Because the way people keep putting this news information out, the way I'm looking at it is, that tells me the ones that can't handle the open season law on certain people, I guess those are the ones that are quitting. So why won't we get the stats on the
Wait. What do you mean open season? What does that mean?
What?
You know what that means.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking you to explain it.
The ones that pull over minorities for the same infractions, they would not pull somebody else
so
over.
You're saying that, you're saying that those are the people who are retiring or quitting.
Well, until the news media, I'm not going to put you on the spot like that, but until somebody tell me what is the percentage of the police officers that are quitting from the force versus on the race, because let's face facts, the majority of the police are what? White. So are you telling me black police officers are quitting just as long as the white police officers, the Chinese police officers, the Mexican police officers? You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Kevin?
Give me the percentage of the races that are leaving the police department. If you're telling me the majority of the people that are leaving are white, then, yeah, that means they're telling me that, hey, we can't do what we normally do, so guess what? We're going to quit.
Well, Kevin, wait a minute, because now you're starting to border on the absurd. Are you telling me that, in your opinion, you believe that 10%, because that's what is retiring or resigning right now from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, 10% of the force, you're telling me that these are the people on the force who get up every morning and that there is at least then 10% of the force who wakes up every morning and all they want to do when they wake up and they're driving to work, they're like, man, I cannot wait to just pull people over for stupid stuff today.
Scott, I work with people like that.
That's not what I asked. I'm saying, are you saying that that is what's going on with these resignations and retirements in the Kansas City, Missouri?
God, they have pools. They bet on stuff like that. And guess what? The more I can get off on somebody, guess what? I win that pot for the day. How many times have police departments been busted for running stuff like that? I'm not saying every police officer, every bad police officer wakes up and say, I want to shoot somebody. I'm not saying that by any means. But my thing is, if I can't pull over and get my quota and make my money, because you guys state those facts yourselves, Scott, that's where the majority of the revenue comes from, is pulling over a minority person. Where you, like I hear Dana say this all the time, I have friends that are lawyers. So when you get pulled over for doing 5 miles over, she's going to call up Scott. Scott's going to call down to the attorney. Okay, all right, here, broken tail light. All right, $150, hand bam, no insurance, we good. You see what I'm saying? We can't do that.
All right.
Because the attorney is going to charge us $450 just to get a $5 amount, and then look at me in my face and tell me, well, I know he pulled you because you're black.
Well, you know what, Kevin? If I would charge you $452 because if I was your attorney, I'd have to pay you for, or have to charge you for time because you never let me as your lawyer get a word in edgewise when we're talking on the phone.
I love you guys.
I love you too. Be good, my friend. We're late for the break. Michael Mackey filling in for Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks, and that guy's Sam Stevie III on KMBZ.
I would do anything. lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now.
Oh, saw him open for Deep Purple in 1985.
Is Meatloaf still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Saw him, and I'm not saying this is good behavior. I saw a woman jump up on stage and run towards him, and he kicked her back into the audience. Kicked her.
Like, boom.
Like just she's running towards him. And this was at the concert that I was at when he was opening for Deep Purple. And she's running towards him, and he just kicks her. Like, what kind of kick is that called? Where you lift up your knee, and then you just force it straight out, and your foot is flat.
A front kick?
Whatever, yeah.
An aggressive one.
Yeah. And he just goes, get off the stage, B! And she went flying back into the crowd. I was like, damn. Pink.
All right.
And then she got charged with trespassing.
story here from the New York Post. Hunters are going ballistic for a chance to help thin a herd of bison in the Grand Canyon National Park. 45,000 people have applied for just 12 spots to kill one of the massive bison each in the September killing. The ideal candidate, quote, has to protect the park ecosystem, resources, and values. You can have no criminal history. You have to be physically fit. You have to have firearm safety certification. Why do you have to be physically fit to go kill a bison?
Because you're going to have to field dress that bison and then figure out how to get that now dead bison back.
Right. Oh, good Lord.
45,000 people have applied. They have 12 spots. Everybody who gets one of the spots gets to kill one.
Okay. Did you see, do you want to feel old today, meteorologist Scott Parks? Because
why not?
Madonna's Truth or Dare was released 30 years ago today. I must have seen that film a dozen times in the theaters.
So you're the one who goes and watches Madonna's movies.
Well, I wouldn't say Madonna's movies. That was Madonna's documentary.
What else? She was in Desperately Seeking Susan, right?
Okay, that was okay.
I've never seen Madonna in a movie in my life. I've never seen one.
Well, you've never seen Truth or Dare.
You've never seen you've never seen Armageddon.
Well, I've never seen Independence Day either. No, I actually have seen Independence Day.
Speaking of
all right,
great, awful
all right,
movies.
Fine, fair. Listen, I'll watch your stupid Armageddon if you watch Madonna's Truth or Dare.
Well, I'm not gonna have you watch it if you're gonna go in with that kind of an attitude.
Oh snap.
Oh snap.
That's right.
Wow. Vogue.
CNN, a cyber attack forced the largest U.S. fuel pipeline to shut down over the weekend, and analysts are worried the disruption could result in a spike in gas prices. They're saying that gas could go up to about $3 a gallon because of the cybersecurity attack that involved ransomware. The president's saying today that he doesn't believe Russia was involved, but it's likely that the cyber attack did come from someone in Russia. They're just not good people.
Wait.
Seriously?
Wait.
For real?
Wait. Have you seen League of Their Own?
Yes, I have seen. Yes, you're right. She's in League of Their Own.
That's win!
That's right. Mr. Mackey.
Strike a pose.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Glad to have you. I love you. Be good.
I love you.
Michael Mackey from michaelmackey.com, also from In Kansas City Magazine. Make sure to follow them on Facebook. On behalf of our producer today, ladies and gentlemen, the finest man in all of America, Sam Stevie III is here. I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Be good.
Oh.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime. at KMBZ.com.